Kiyomi is our true self. The soul is our higher true self. It manifests, it comes into existence through merging of Kiyomi with the inner state. In this merging, the light of me is not dissolved, but absorbed, transformed, unified with the impersonal essence of our existence. In the process of surrendering of Kiyomi, all these faculties, elements that are required for the state of samadhi to be realized, all these faculties are being opened up, they're maturing to allow that merging to take place. On the other hand, Kiyomi, as we spoke yesterday, through surrender to the light of I Am, is creating more and more distance from the subconscious construct of the mind, which is our past self, and becomes more and more free from that past self. And only these elements of the past self, our past identity, that are true, that are right, can be integrated into the identity of Kiyomi. These elements of the past self, which can be integrated, are not the ones which are pulling us away from surrender. They can be part of the state of surrender. We spoke about all these subtle links which are gluing Kiyomi to the subconscious. One cannot even recognize them because they are so subtle. They are not thoughts. Often they are even deeper than energy. All these links, they are as if made from a rubber. They can stretch, so as you surrender, even before they become cut off, they allow certain surrender to take place. But because they are made from rubber, so they are pulling us back. But that rubber, that stuff from which they are made, has only certain amount of endurance. As the surrender deepens, eventually these links begin to weaken and they break, they snap, and suddenly we fall into the deeper state of existence, free from the past self. The more we are free from the past self, the more we can simply be ourselves. We can be who we are. Surrender is a scientific process. There's a wisdom, purposefulness. It is an alchemical process of becoming our higher self, which cannot be purely rationally explained, because it is based on the birth of something new. Something new emerges that was never there. Surrender can begin in a constructive, efficient way only when the essence of our true self is met and identified as our identity embodied. Personality, ego, mind, conscious me. There has been so many attempts throughout centuries of developing different techniques, methods to facilitate surrender of the false self. And all these attempts ultimately failed because the false cannot surrender itself, because it is made to sustain itself on a deep, deep unconscious level. It has been programmed to maintain itself in order to survive as a separate creature in the environment of the outer reality. There's no convincing it, there's no transforming it. No matter what one does, it will keep coming back. It is the arisal of the real within the false that creates this bridge. Bridge that allows true surrender to begin. You are not really surrendering your conscious me, your subconscious me. You are surrendering it indirectly through embodying your pure me. That itself is surrendering all these other aspects of me, all that which is on the periphery of ourself. Pure me is real. It is the reflection of the real in the false, in the construct of the personal self. It is the spark, the light, the connection to what is real. But pure me at the same time is a living thing, living organism of consciousness, which is growing, evolving, maturing before it can fully actualize itself and before it becomes freed from any traces of imperfection or relativity. Empowering of the light of me and its further awakening through absorption in the inner state allows it eventually to become complete. we can say that pure me is our true conscious me. It is the higher conscious me, free from the mind, free from the subconscious, free from itself. another way the subconscious me can affect, disturb, and create the force of identification with itself is through creating psychological mental states, mental moods. One day, subconscious me is happy, another day it is depressed, it is bored, it is dull, it is lethargic. As we embody pure me, we consciously bring the space of this identification from any psychological states that may manifest. It's like making a batter, separating the water from the fat so the pure butter can remain at the end. We are separating our pure me from all of that which is relative. You put yourself in a state where you do not care how you feel, which basically means you do not care how your subconscious me feels. Everything that is experienced in the subconscious realm in which all human beings live is a substitute of reality. The joy, the happiness that subconscious me experiences when it feels good or excited is a substitute of real happiness, real joy, real bliss and well-being, which is our true nature. Human beings have no integrity, no continuity of consciousness and intelligence. They are basically subconscious creatures. Because they are ruled by the subconscious and just controlling their reality through the discipline and the training and education of the conscious me, it is all being held by a thread. That's why no one in this dimension can be trusted. You never know who this person will become tomorrow. There's no one there. There's no I am. It's like a dream character. The purpose of the spiritual path and the science of spirituality is not just to create a way to transcend this dimension, to get the hell out of here. Many seekers are so scared of living in this plane that they constantly cherish a desire not to come back, not to incarnate again. The true purpose of the spiritual path is to create a new race of human beings, which are true humans, which are truly conscious, who are souls in the plane of personalities. A soul does not really mind to incarnate again. It's not so bad here after all. The majority of suffering we experience is not about the outer world or imperfection of the earth dimension. It is purely internal. It is how we experience our own self. That is suffering. Being here, this plane, or on another plane, it does not make much difference, because the soul is in the beyond anyway. She is never really here. She is never locked in this dimension. Her roots are in the plane of freedom. She is one, the source of creation. And because she is one with the source of creation, there's a profound acceptance of everything, even of this plane. The truth is that these souls who do not return to the earth are those who do not mind to return. The very denial of this reality, fear of it, seeing it as hostile plane of suffering, is an indication that one has not yet surrendered. And it is that very fear, that denial, that negative perception that will bring one back to this plane. We are not escapists. We are not escaping from this dimension. We are evolving towards being whole. We are transcending from the place of becoming complete and being totally in harmony with everything that is. The whole concept of the outer world, outer reality, this universe, the perception of it changes when our place in existence changes. It is the location of the perceiver of our subjectivity, of who we are in reality, that changes our relationship with creation. When the perceiver is stuck in the plane of forgetfulness in its own mind, it is all an agony this agony is being projected onto the outer world as a place of suffering. The outer world is everything. It is the play of so many energies and possibilities. It exists there for a purpose. It has been created by higher force. Therefore, it has to be respected, accepted. Moving beyond suffering. It's not about reconstructing our personality, trying to cut off our attachments. Renouncing our human nature. It's about becoming one with the light of creation. From that place, even attachments, they do not matter. It's always being experienced in a playful way, light way. Because the root of our existence is abiding in the place of freedom. A soul can still suffer on the human level, but she is suffering from the place of bliss.